Always a pleasure to have Bernie Kosar with us. Bernie, how was your weekend?
Oh, hectic weekend. Loving March Madness and seeing the state of Ohio go 7-0 and having 25% of the Sweet 16 from our state.
Yeah, I saw your tweets about that. You were all over that stuff. I tried to watch some of that, but the weather was so beautiful that it was really hard for me to stay, you know, pinned to a television inside when it was so beautiful outside. But
so those tip-offs at 9 o'clock at night, it was still that nice.
Yeah, I didn't get that too. Those late tip-offs were interesting as well. Man, that's something.
Yeah, you know, they had
games. Trying to get that maximum TV audience.
They exactly. They had all those games for TV. And, again, not to get sidetracked here, but if the March Madness and the enthusiasm, the excitement, just the fun that it brings doesn't help get us a step closer in football to some version of a playoff, I'm not sure what else is going to tip it over the scale.
Well, Bernie, let's talk some pro football, and let's talk about the Browns. Since we last spoke, Bernie, this team added a couple of defensive linemen, and let's talk about the most prominent of those two, Frosty Rucker, former Bengal. I think it fits just nicely to what this team is doing, attacking the defensive side of the ball, the strength of this football team.
Well, first, it's obviously a real cool name to have as a football player, defensive lineman, Frosty. But to show, and I think the model is becoming really clear, at least for this era of NFL football, of passing the ball, the quarterback, the playmakers on offense. But head and shoulders, far and away, one of the most important things to be an overall good team, and the Giants keep proving it, is the pass rush, the front four, the front seven, the ability to get after the quarterback, the ability to cause havoc within the line of scrimmage and make stops. And adding depth to the defensive line, and me and you have been talking constantly about, how nice the defense has done, how imperative it is, the Jabal Sherrods, the Rubens, the guys last year, how they played.
Phil Taylor.
Phil Taylor, exactly. They stayed healthy, though. And odds are in the NFL, for everybody on the D-line to stay healthy year in and year out, it's not really realistic. So to add quality players in the rotation, I think, is a fantastic move.
I mean, what I really like here, too, is he brings that experience, a half dozen years or so in the AFC North, and in particular with the Bengals. So that knowledge has got to be helpful not only to him in dealing with the opposition in the AFC North in those six games that you're going to be playing as a Cleveland Brown, but also the teammates, the younger teammates, who I think can benefit from his experience.
Well, you're exactly right. Teaching younger guys how to stay in the league, how to be productive in the league, how to try to win in a league, I think is definitely a benefit. But also, too, he was somebody that was productive, helpful towards the Bengals and helping them win games. So to get a guy that's a positive guy making plays on your team, helping out your younger guys, and then taking him away from a division rival, I think it's kind of a double win.
And Bernie, when you make these moves in free agency, and again, people like to judge moves by how much you spend, and the more you spend, it seems the more attractive the player is, and usually it's equated with that frontline guy for several years, that marquee player. So another defensive end signed this week was Mario Williams by the Buffalo Bills. They put up somewhere in the vicinity of like $50 million guaranteed as part of a nearly $100 million contract. And all those numbers are staggering and get people excited. And I know people in Buffalo very well there, that they were, that whole town was electrified by that signing. But as I look at the comparatives, this is a guy coming off a torn pectoral muscle that shortened his season in 2011. He's a guy that when he is healthy and playing at his best can be very effective, but his production, his sack numbers, so forth, haven't been all that staggering of late. And I'm not trying to make a case that that the signing of a Rucker is a better signing than this, but you don't necessarily assume that the lower keyed signing, as a Rucker is for the Browns, is necessarily a worse signing than the Bills signing a Mario Williams.
Well, there's a fantastic article. I think I saw it on Cleveland.com or in the Plain Dealer or one of the publications talking about history of free agency. And again, history isn't an indicator of future success or failure, but it does give you something to kind of gauge by. And the Albert Hainsworths of the world, those type of things tend to be more the norm in free agency than the Drew Brees and the success stories. So you really have to be careful of trying to win the springtime, early summer PR wars to look good by making splash signings, as I call them, as opposed to making good, solid, fundamental decisions for the success of the fall and winter time. And history has showed that the teams that are most active, the Detroit Lions, over the last 5 to 7 years have been the most active in free agency. Yet I think of one 31% of their games. The teams that have won the most percentage of games tend to be the least active in free agency and do the most in the draft. So again, it's fun to talk about, it's fun to kind of play fantasy football about this time of the year, but to really be successful by signing lots of free agents like the Redskins have done over time, the Cowboys have done over the last decade, they tend not to pan out.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, the other addition this team made, newcomer, Jaquan Parker, again, another D lineman, maybe can bring some depth to that line. Coming over from Philadelphia, a guy that clearly Tom Heckert, the Browns GM, knows about from his time in Philly. So he's a veteran. He's a little bit of an older player than Rucker is, but I would think you have that experience and you have someone who has been part of pretty good defensive fronts in Philadelphia joining your team. That's not a bad thing.
Well, again, same thing with Frosty, being the ability to be professional, learn how to study film, learn how to practice, learn technique and footwork and handwork to make plays for the younger guys is something I really believe in, that veteran guys are able to bring upon guys and be a good, solid influence within the locker room. And getting that mix of youth with some veteran leadership, especially with all the picks we have. I mean, just because these things have been done doesn't mean you're not going to look at those positions within the draft. So it brings a good mix of veteran and youth to a team that could really use it.
Right. No question about that. And another move, significant move by this team, and it's been doing some in-house stuff. We know we can go back to the DeQuell Jackson contract extension, but another move that is along the lines of doing the in-house thing and keeping your own is making sure Dimitri Patterson is tied up. He had been signed to a one-year contract last year, clearly impressed by his contribution to this team, as I think the Browns should have been, because he did play such a key role in that secondary. So now they've tied him up. It makes a statement to me, Bernie, that he's going to be certainly a competitor for that spot opposite Joe Hayden at corner, at the very least, and you would think too that he will continue to have a lot of contribution because of all the spread formation you're going to see. You better have at the minimum three competent cover people lining up.
Absolutely, and your last statement about the spread offenses, the multiple receiver sets, more times than not, you have more than two cornerbacks on the field in given defenses. So whether Sheldon Brown starts or Dimitri Patterson starts, odds are three of them with Joe Hayden will be on the field trying to make stops. And cornerback in this pass happy league, with some of the rules being offensively positive right now, you kind of need that type of stuff. And he came over last year, he's made plays, and keeping your own, whether it's DeQuell Jackson, Patterson, keeping guys like this to kind of build some consistency is easier said than done in free agency, and I think it's imperative for continuity and when you're rebuilding to keep some of the guys like this, to keep some of the core guys that you want to be part of your future, part of your locker room.
When we come back with Bernie Kosar, we're going to talk much more about the big story of the day in the National Football League, Peyton Manning choosing the Denver Broncos as his new destination. We'll have that and much more on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game. Back with Bernie Kosar. And, of course, Bernie, the news of the day in the NFL, we talked about it at the top of the show, is Peyton Manning finally making a choice, picking the Denver Broncos. And first of all, your thoughts on just the team selection, given the field of teams that he had to look at?
It's just probably not the most intelligent, funnest thing to say in to Browns fans, but me and Elway being friends and having quite a bit of history amongst ourselves, I called to wish him congratulations. He was really wanted this, focused on this. And, you know, I think it goes back to, you know, back in the early days at a quarterback club, when we started this, we got to meet a lot of the past quarterbacks and a lot of the future quarterbacks as we were playing, myself, John Marino, Boomer, Jim Kelly, and that. And some of those relationships, like we had talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, where we've got to meet Archie Manning and his two young sons, who were probably 6 and 10 years old at the time,
right,
on the beach, Eli and Peyton. And who would have thought that 20 years later, they're the premier quarterbacks of the NFL. And for John, I think part of that relationship going back a few decades definitely helps. And we're seeing that for sure today with NFL free agents. Relationships and appearance definitely help on the recruiting of free agents, almost like it's college recruiting again.
And to think about that matchup, of course, having John Elway there as the overseer of the whole organization is one thing, and I'm sure Peyton Manning derives a lot of confidence from that as a pro, as a perfectionist, all the things that he is, but also John Fox and the experience that he brings. This is a team that was in the playoffs last year without a Peyton Manning and with, in fact, a quarterback that a lot of people felt was their weakness in Tim Tebow. So it's a division that I think provides maybe a path of least resistance to the postseason. I would think all of those were factors in Manning's decision as well.
Well, first, you know, when John was put in charge of the Broncos last year, I think his first thing was to find an experienced defensive head coach that had credibility, experience, and leadership, and he brought in John Fox. And that tandem, you could already see the benefits of that paying off. They were the second pick in the draft just 2 years ago, and you're exactly right. With supposedly their quarterback being a weak link, still won the division, albeit a weak division. And I think that definitely is part of Peyton Manning's decision to go to Denver, the Elway relationship, knowing it's going to be quarterback friendly there, and getting a quarterback's imperative in the league today. So Elway was definitely instrumental in that. But the AFC West is in turmoil. Norv Turner was almost fired this past year. All kinds of turnover with the Raiders. Kansas City is in turmoil and turning over. They actually wanted Peyton Manning, which shows how they feel about Matt Castle. So this is definitely an opportunity easier to make it to the playoffs than, let's say, the AFC East, as we've been talking about, where you have to play Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, the Jets, the front seven of Buffalo.
And, Bernie, when you look at Peyton Manning and think of it from, again, the quarterback perspective, which is what you pretty much – you look at almost everything through those eyes, can you – dealing, and I know you didn't quite deal with his physical ailment exactly, the nerve issue in his neck and multiple neck surgeries to correct that, but could you imagine playing with anything in that upper area, shoulders and above, having issues with that and overcoming that? I mean, just as a quarterback, as a guy who's played with his share of pain, how is the management of that, do you think, going to work? And again, I know you can't put yourself in his body or totally relate to exactly what he's going through, but you certainly can relate to pain as it applies to trying to throw a football.
I don't think there's any doubt that the pain and his injury and what he had in terms of the possible seriousness of paralysis is definitely something you have to worry about. But I think most quarterbacks deal with the whiplash, the neck issues, the shoulder issues, the shots of pain through the back and the neck and the shoulders. And you really become pretty adept at handling these type of issues so that you're able to kind of make the results, still make the plays, albeit not easy. But I think Peyton Manning is someone that's been able to adjust to the given situations and to the given circumstances to be able to make plays despite the circumstances.
And the next shoe that's going to drop on this, Bernie, of course, is what happens to Tim Tebow, because he's going to be, I don't know if he's going to necessarily be a hot commodity, a lot of questions still about his playing ability, but that iconic thing that he's all about that gets people crazy certainly created a lot of hysteria around Denver, around the country last year. That's still going to be in force somewhere.
Yeah, this is a beautiful thing of the NFL. Just when you think you may have some calmness, there's always something to take its place. And although Denver does have the luxury of just keeping Tim Tebow on the roster to back up and do niche-type packages, Peyton Manning's the type of quarterback. He loves a lot of reps, so the backup isn't going to get a chance to grow too much. I don't think they want to deal with the peripheral distractions that came last year that will come on top of the distractions that will come with just Peyton Manning being there. So I really kind of see John going out there and exploring trades. So, you know, interestingly, the Blaine Gabbert was a top 10 pick for Jacksonville last year. They signed Chad Henning. Jacksonville always was a rumored place, but they seem to have their quarterbacks. The Dolphins have been rumored. So I think they'll at least attempt to probably explore some trade possibilities with Tim Tebow. And that's amazing given the type of season of wins he had last year. But most teams are set on their starting quarterback now. I don't think he's going to be able to just easily be given a starting position with any of the 32 teams in our league.
Right. And the more we talk about this guy and the value he would have to any team, and it starts to me with maybe that selling ability, that if you had him there, that novelty that he would be could generate some sales, ticket sales, and get your merchandise going and get things buzzing about your football team. But I also want to give fans more credit, too. I think a lot of people have fans have the depth to understand that how much he's helping your football team remains a huge question. So as I look at the Browns, for instance, my first thought is I don't necessarily see that this you could see it creating a lot of buzz and a lot of conversation, but I don't see it as something that is really going to help the football team.
Well, here's the thing, the way I look at it. In terms of a genuine person of genuine character, love for football, work ethic, I really am impressed with him. I mean, I don't think any of us could question any of that. And if you want to run a traditional-based football team and offense, you're going to be hard-pressed to do that with Tim. But if you're open-minded and you're really just trying to get by and win and just make situations, in certain niche situations, in certain given packages, he could be a benefit. I'm not sure right now. They had a miraculous, fantastic year. Don't want to take anything away from that. I'm not sure right now, though, the consensus is that play in and play out, day in and day out, game in and game out, he could consistently have that type of production, though, which kind of evolves then to some of these unique type packages that are just a part of a game as opposed to him being the game.
Right, and these quarterback dominoes falling in place with Matt Flynn, with Seattle now, so that's another, you were talking about teams that you scratch off the list for opportunities for, say, a Tebow. Miami, would be there. Jacksonville, I guess, still there. Just the, putting him in the state of Florida would be another possibility. But as we move forward with all of this, you know, it becomes clearer that if you don't have your quarterback situation settled, you're pretty well looking at, yeah, maybe somebody in the draft, although that is, I think, a longer-term developmental thing as far as, I mean, any rookie is, but I think more so beyond the top two of Andrew Luck and RG3. And then I think after that, it's just a lot of general conversation of your, you know, hoping you're the person you have can develop and grow, and that's the case with the Browns with Colt McCoy.
Exactly. And you, again, it's easy. It's nice to say I picked a quarterback high. We know history has showed that 50% plus quarterbacks picked high have actually been failures by NFL standards in the NFL. So, you know, having a guy who has played, can run a team, can make plays, and again, is he at the Peyton Manning level when Peyton was in his prime? Not. But there's teams that are in definitely worse situations that make making change for change's sake something that you really just don't want to do, at least in my opinion.
I think you make a great point there, and he's Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And the common theory is, if you stick with McCoy and it blows up, and McCoy just isn't the guy and doesn't, I mean, just it just unravels, and then you would have the presumably bad season that would result from him not delivering for you. You're in a position in 2013, again, as the presumption goes, to draft a Matt Barkley coming out from USC, who opted not to enter this year's draft, that he would be the hot ticket in next year's draft. But that's a lot of presumption too, Bernie, that A, you know, he's everything next year that a lot of people thought he might be this year, that he's healthy, that, I mean, it's just hard for me to wrap my mind around making the assumption that you follow a plan that puts you in position to get a guy that you know, that we're, what, 13 months away from talking about.
Well, and again, that's to be determined. That is a long way off, and a lot of things have to fall certain ways for things like that to happen. But, again, in the short run of just trying to get better and just trying to be smart to get a good core together so you're not taking chances or gambling with decisions that for the long-term ramifications put you in a hole, make things harder for you to come out of it. You know, for the first 37 picks, some younger guys coming back, some of our own nucleus being retained, you're in a better spot to grow and get better, especially with Pittsburgh having cap issues and getting age, yeah, and Baltimore having cap issues and getting older. You know, I kind of like the way the arrows are going right now, and to make a gambling move to jeopardize the way the bars are going, I think would be tough to do right now unless you have really good feel and facts behind it.
Great stuff, Bernie. We will reconvene a little later in the week, and thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you then.
Sounds good.
He is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.